Brother Wade is such a blessing to me. He's been at the church now for over 3 years and has really been faithful. And he's such a blessing. He's taught the Word for years. This isn't new for him. He's a seasoned teacher of God's Word. And many of you know he's taught at, he's willing to teach anywhere at any time. He goes to the prisons and teach. He'll teach in a men's meeting. He'll teach at a prayer breakfast. He'll teach, he teaches the single, college and career every single Sunday faithfully, twice every Sunday morning. And this man has been a real blessing to me personally. And I know he'll have something for you from the Word of God. Whenever I ask someone in the singles class about Brother Wade, and I, hey, how you like Brother Wade? And how they all say the same thing. Boy, I tell you what, he gives us some rich, rich teaching from the Word of God. And so, Brother Wade, I don't know about y'all, but I appreciate his trumpet playing, don't you? Every Sunday, what a blessing that is. It adds so much to the service, and that's just that's just the visible thing that you see that he does. He does so many things behind the scenes that you don't know about. But anyway, Brother Wade, I love you, man. I want you to come and teach for us tonight, okay? Thank you, get your Bibles and get ready.
All right. Well, good evening. When Dan called, I did my usual thing with the Word of God. I got excited about the opportunity to teach, and then it dawned on me who I was going to be teaching, and I was a little too late to recant. He'd already left for Virginia. But so anyway, the subject tonight would be thankfulness. And so as I was thinking about it, I got to thinking about, well, when did thankfulness kind of even become in the lives of people? Like, when did people start giving even the thought of thanksgiving? And so what I did is I decided to find out where that word showed up the first time in our Bible. So if you would open tonight to the book of Leviticus, believe it or not, Leviticus chapter 7, I have been particularly blessed going through the book of Colossians. I don't know how it's been helping you all, but it's been helping me tremendously. And before I start my message tonight, I would like to say something to the church as a whole and to the congregation. Many, many years ago, I had a belief in my heart, and that was that you and I could have a infallible, perfect copy of God's Word, which I believe is in our King James Bible. But I also believe that it was capable to have that, if you will, with God's grace. And try as I might, it seemed that I could find lots of churches who knew the Bible but didn't know much about God's grace. And then I could find lots of churches that seemed to know a lot about God's grace but would err on the side of not being willing to stay strong to God's Word. And so I just want you to know that for the last 3.5 years, it has literally been a feast for my entire family to see what we have believed in our heart to be actually true if a congregation would submit themselves to the will of the Father, to the Word of God, and to a leadership team that is willing to present those things to us. Amen? So I have enjoyed immensely God's uncompromised Word, but with just enough grace for me to swallow it. Amen? So as we get in tonight, I'm going to do what the Lord laid on my heart, which is you can hardly ever go wrong lifting up Jesus. So let's look at verse 11, and I'd like to kind of start with the passage, and then I have to sort of set the passage up. Verse 11 of chapter 7 says, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it, he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priests that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered, and he shall not leave any of it until the morning." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you would. Father, tonight, we thank you for the opportunity to praise you and sing to you. Lord, our hearts are already full. I thank you for the day you gave us a song in our heart. And so tonight, we ask that you would fill all of us with your Spirit, teachers, hearers, and all alike, that we would all be blessed to see Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to kind of set the stage, if you will, in the book of Leviticus, as you may know, is where God presents the offerings that he instituted with the nation of Israel. And those particular offerings come in an order in Leviticus. Chapter 1, you have the burnt offering, and then chapter 2, you move to the meal offering. Chapter 3 is called the peace offering. In chapter 4, you have the sin offering that leads into part of 5, and then you have the trespass offering. But the interesting thing about the way God presents those is while God presents to you and I the order in which he would want us to see that sin has been paid for, that is the burnt offering being a picture of Christ in all his glory, his sinless nature and how he was laid on the altar for you and I, he takes us from Christ to where we are, which is kind of a big zero, amen, where our trespasses and our sins are needed to be paid for. What's interesting, though, is that when they actually institute the law and they actually begin to perform the offerings so that the nation and people can participate, they run it in the opposite order. Kind of interesting. But the really interesting part is the peace offering is actually the last one, otherwise known as the Thanksgiving offering. So as I stand before you tonight, I got to thinking about some things, and I was trying to think about when I was thankful. Now, when I say thankful tonight, I'm not talking about thanking someone for a soda or thank you for the ice cream cone or thank you for paying my bill. What I'm talking about is when we were able to enter into a spirit, that is a heart of true thankfulness. And it's kind of interesting to me because as I thought about it, I realized that the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that one of the defining points of people who are on their way to becoming reprobate is they are unthankful. 2 Timothy tells us in the last days that there will be those, and one of the descriptions of them is they'll be unthankful, disobedient to parents, and on the list goes. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I can remember my days of disobedience to parents, and to be quite frank, very unthankful. It's often I was sharing with the ladies in the jail, I really don't have much reason to be here. I think my dad should have taken me out at about the age of 13 and a half, right about where Ben's at. Just kidding. I'm just teasing. And then I came to the day after I got saved when I realized how good a parent God gave me. I got to thinking about that. I thought, well, what was the difference? What was the defining difference between becoming thankful when I was unthankful, when I could suddenly see that everything had value, and then when I didn't see that anything had value. And so the Bible says of this, and you'll indulge me for a minute because I find it kind of fascinating. You see, in the trespass offering, God made institution that you and I could have individual sin paid for. That is, if you were to do something wrong to your neighbor or you were to transgress God, you brought your sacrifice, you put your hand on the sacrifice, and that particular sin, that particular individual transgression was dealt with. Well, that was good. But I'd oftentimes ask people to forgive me or be sorry, but that really didn't deal with my problem, didn't it? So we found out the other night by God's grace in Colossians 2, wasn't it a joy to find out that all your trespasses are forgiven? So you find out that God knew all along that he was going to forgive trespasses. He just wanted us to see a picture of that when we brought our trespass offering to the Old Testament. Well, that didn't solve it for me. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that I was by nature a child of wrath. That was my bent. I just was unthankful in my heart. I was a sinner in my heart. In fact, the reality was that I didn't even know it. And so Paul says, because of the Bible saying that thou shalt not covet, he learned that he was lust. He had lust. But in order to take care of my sin nature, I needed more than just someone to pay for individual sin because I'd continue to do that. Sooner or later, I'd fall back into the pattern. And so the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, that he made him to be sin for us that knew no sin. That is, when the sin offering was given, it was to deal with your sin nature, not just your trespass. You brought the offering because you knew and recognized you were a sinner. So not only was I provided for in my individual transgressions, i.e. the payment for the law, but now I had been paid for as my nature, and it was beginning to be taken care of. Isn't that a blessing? Well, we couldn't stop there because we didn't know who was going to pay, did we? Neither did Israel. So God brought this meal offering. It's kind of neat. They took flour and they beat it to a pulp, which is a picture of our Savior who was bruised and beaten. And it was to be mingled with oil, type of the Holy Spirit. And on it goes. And they would take that and they would put it on the altar. But really what the flour and the meal offering was a picture of was our Savior in his human nature, that is, in his earthly form and his perfectness. That is, as the man Christ Jesus. That gets kind of exciting. Well, last, we get to the burnt offering. And in the burnt offering, it was really neat because the burnt offering was something that Dan made a comment about the other night, and we dealt with it. And I realized that how often I make errors in whom I identify with. You see, in the burnt offering, I would bring the bullock to the altar, and the priest would be waiting, and he would look at me, and then I would put my hand on that bullock. But when I put the hand on the bullock, it wasn't so much to pay for sin, but rather that I would identify that I had nothing in me with which I had done anything worthy to God. And so the priest would accept the bullock and slaughter that bullock, and he would lay that bullock on the altar, filleted open with all the parts showing. But really what I was waiting on was, would God accept it? Would God receive my bullock today? You see, I was trying to transfer my incapability of doing anything for the Lord in and of myself to this animal and recognizing before God that I was totally inept and waiting to see if God could look upon the bullock and receive it as an offering. And what's interesting is, it's the one that God says, I want all of it burnt on the altar. It is for none of you at all. And the Bible says, as it went up, it was a sweet savor unto the nostrils of our Father. You say, what's so important about that, Wade? Because it was a symbol of my identification. You see, I had transferred my unworthiness to the bull. And now I was identifying with the bull. And if God would receive that, then I could move into peace with God. And so we have our Savior tonight, don't we? Our great bullock, if you will. He's our burnt offering. He's the one who, when God laid him open on the altar, found no sin in him. He did no sin. There was nothing with which God could be displeased because he was the sinless man of God and the perfect Son of God brought together to pay for the transgressions of you and I in fullness. Glory to his name tonight. Well, the good news doesn't stop there. You see, where I sometimes get myself messed up is I identify a little too much with Wade. I start thinking, I really kind of can't do that. Tonight would be a good example. Thank God for Lila, my 80-year-old buddy who goes into the jail with me and brings the girls underwear and bras because they don't have money. And that's something they don't get there. And Lila said, been praying for you today. God put you on my heart. I said, that's good. I need it. And I said, I'll be preaching at my church tomorrow. The very first words out of her mouth were, what God has called you to do, he'll enable you to do. And so, I've been living in the joy, Pastor, for about 10 days now, of making sure that I am identified only in Christ and trying to forget who I am. That's what Christ asked me to do on Calvary, isn't it? I mean, really, when we took Christ, we agree, whether we knew it at the time or not, we agreed to let God nail us to the cross so that that would go away and then we would take on the life of our Savior, amen. That I could identify with him because really, Wade's gone. Wade's already proved there's no value there. And so God gave me all. Well, here's what I realized. So if you'd look, it says, And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. You see, there was more than one peace offering. But tonight we're going to focus on Thanksgiving, since that's the holiday that we're thinking about. But here's what I want you to think about. When did you become thankful? When in your life, if you were to look back over it, when did you become a truly thankful person? Not just for the things that you enjoyed, not just for the situations in life that worked out for your favor, but that you could honestly say, you know what, it may not be good right now, but I can still be thankful. I'm a satisfied individual. When did that happen? Well, can I submit to you tonight that it didn't happen in anybody until they received the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, we were incapable of being thankful. You say, why, Wade? Because all I cared about was Wade. And if it wasn't pleasing Wade, I didn't have the ability to see any good in it. I didn't have the ability. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, even the ice cream cone was making me happy. Right? Even the person who, in other words, Jesus said, hey, if you can only take care of someone who is going to take care of you back, even the sinner can do that. I got really convicted the other night. I read the rest of the story, and the Bible says that God is good even to the unthankful and the evil. I thought, man, isn't that outside of ourselves? Somebody does me wrong. How could I possibly, in my own nature, be good to anybody after they've done me wrong? Oh, but once the love of Christ enters in, suddenly there's an ability to not only extend back something kind, but how about this, even relish in that the transgression occurred against us because we know there's something profitable to be gained by that. Only because of what? One thing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I once was blind, but oh, now I really see. The Bible says in the book of Romans, doesn't it, that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And so tonight, what I was thinking about is I thought about, isn't it ironic that the very first time the word Thanksgiving is mentioned in your Bible, it's in conjunction with the subject of peace. You see, I had no peace. I had no hope. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, there was a middle wall of partition between me and God. And I couldn't get through that thing because the law was holding me back. And then Jesus did a wonderful thing. The Bible says, he bore my sin in his flesh, and he took away the enmity that was between me and God and broke down that middle wall. And the Bible says a neat thing, that the twain could become one. And so the Bible says, now think about this. So I've gone through all my offerings, and I get to the last one, and what do I realize? Without Christ, I'm nothing. And therefore, from that position, all things can be a blessing. And I can truly be thankful. So then I come to Leviticus, and let's look at a couple of interesting things about this peace offering, or what's called the Thanksgiving offering. Number one, if he offer it for a Thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. Now notice there's unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. See, God took care of everybody, even Southerners. Amen. I mean, you could have it, like if you really want to be a health nut, you can have it baked, you can have it fried, you can have it however you want it. And for those of you that are really frustrated and don't like crackers, on this particular offering, God even lets you have some leaven. Look in verse 14, or verse 13, he says, and beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread. Now, that's a really strange thing in our world, because in the Bible, leaven's a type of sin. So we would say, why in the world would God allow me to partake of leavened bread? Why would I be allowed to involve leavened bread in the situation? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, this is the only offering in all of God's offerings to the nation. This is the only offering where the offerer and the partakers may all eat together. When you brought your Thanksgiving offering, everybody was going to get to eat. It wasn't like the other offerings where only the priest got a portion or only God got all of it in the case of the burnt offering. In this case, once I brought it, everybody was going to get to partake of that offering. Why? Well, because we were all going to enjoy the fellowship of our Savior because we'd all been in peace. Well, the leavened bread would be great because the Bible says, doesn't it, that we're to give thanks in how many things? All things. And so God shows us through the picture not only just the holy things, but as well the things that don't seem to be holy. Maybe those things that don't seem to be profitable in your life. Maybe those things that don't seem to have value at the moment. God says, hey, give thanks in all things. In other words, you're partaking of all those things, and they're fruitful. Let's go a little further besides the cakes. And then he says in verse 14, and of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering to the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings. Well, I don't know if you know what a heave offering is, but literally what they would do, they would take your offering and the priest would go like this before God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. And they would wave their offering up to God. Well, the Bible says for you and I to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. And so for me, just me personally, it was a great picture of me lifting my voice up to the Lord. That's my heave offering. Hebrews 13 says, from the fruit of my lips, I offer a praise unto God. That's the sweet sacrifice to the Lord. The fruit of my lips as I praise him and I thank him. And so that was a blessing to me. Last but not least, I want you to notice the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. For thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. If you would, I'm going to steal something because I get to. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And we'll finish up. I want you to notice tonight that you are allowed to eat of this offering. The Bible says Jesus called himself the bread of life. Not only were you allowed to eat, but you were also allowed to enjoy that with others. Take it to your family. The priests ate with you. In other words, everybody together came into this communion together. Really, to be more biblical tonight, as opposed to symbolic, it's a beautiful picture of the Lord's Supper. Because really, that's what the Lord's Supper is. It's the table where you and I come to meet, where we get to partake of our fellowship together and of what Christ did for us. What? Why? Well, because peace has been made. See, in the Bible, you only eat with people you're having peace with. That's what always made it so interesting to me when Jesus went to dinner. There always seemed to be a little contention, and most people fellowship with people they want to eat with. Amen. Don't usually ask your enemies out to dinner. But as I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about what for me today is what I feast on. I mean, God's not demanding of me to bring a ram, or God's not asking me to bring bread. God doesn't have that same restriction on me. So what is it today that you and I have that you and I are to feed on, that is to enter into that relationship with him and to enjoy the, now listen, to enjoy the communion part of it. And so I came up with Colossians 3. The Bible says this in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I love this. Wives, I'm going to leave that verse for Dan. Amen. Go to Ephesians 5, and I'm going to finish for you right here. You all thought I wasn't smart, didn't you? Verse 17. This has really been helping me. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, the will of the Lord is what we read about. It's let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, we can't be filled with the Spirit of God unless the word of Christ dwells in us. They must go together. That's the relationship that God's put together. Just like, if I may, you'll very rarely see prayer without thankfulness. In fact, you can't really have prayer without thankfulness because it's thankfulness that allows us to enter into the presence of the Father. Amen? So if you take thankfulness out of your prayer life and start with your requests, you may not get too far. Amen? Just like when you go to dad and say, hey, can I have the keys? You might want to tell him, thanks for buying the car first, then ask for the keys, right? But this is what really helped me. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so we had a good time Sunday morning in my class because, let's read the next verses. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Colossians. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. May I suggest tonight that we concluded that these were not means by which you get filled, but rather these were means by where you have been manifesting that you are filled. In other words, if I have the peace of God in my life, and then I come to the Word of God, the very first thing that the Word of God should bring me to an understanding of is that without Jesus Christ, I really am nothing. Now that should evoke in me a tremendous sense of joy, because I realize that I had no way to pay for these sins. I had no hope and no future. And so thereby realizing I had nothing to bring to God, but that God had made this way, what could be any other response but that the Spirit of the living God in you now would rejoice with you over the fact that you're not going to spend all of eternity in hell. Amen? I mean, single-handedly, that should keep a smile on my face through the day. I'd like to tell you it happens, but at least I'm getting better. Amen. Well, that brought me to the next thought. Or actually, aren't we thankful God tells us how the process works? Notice what happens next. Having been found with all this joy and realizing how great things are, it can only lead me to give thanks to God. Now, I will tell you this. There'll be no submission without thankfulness. I will step on one area. I'm learning this. We will not submit one to another unless we become thankful one for another. Wives won't submit to a husband that they're not thankful for. Children won't submit to parents that they're not thankful for. You say, how do you know that, Wade? I can tell you from firsthand testimony. In my ungrateful heart, I was about as rebellious as you could be. That's most of us. Employees won't submit to the boss if they're unthankful for the job. In other words, we will find that an unthankful heart is a precursor to rebellion or to a problem in our life in a spiritual sense. We have forgotten, at least in me, I have forgotten the joy that I should have because the truth of the matter is I truly deserve nothing. And if I could get there, what a blessing it would be that all things now can become a true gift from God. Amen? So, I give thanks to God. Why? Well, because in 1 Thessalonians 5, he told me to do so. But for this reason, because it's his will in my life. And if that's his will in my life, and after reading Romans 8, I realize that he is truly working all things together for my good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose, then it would seem logical that it would be very comfortable at that point to thank him for the issue and to submit. So that now what he's doing inside of me could actually manifest itself. Aren't you thankful tonight for peace? See, because without peace, there's no thankfulness. I've never known contentious people to be thankful. I've never known people that are at enmity with others or at enmity with situations to be grateful for those situations. And so tonight, I think we can safely say, all praise, honor, and glory be to Jesus Christ. He's everything. Amen. And for that, we can be thankful that he's made us anything. Amen. Amen.